Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say, it is a great word today. It is a great word. The prophet Jeremiah will be coming forth and teaching us and preaching and prophesying this morning. And all I can say is, wow, wow. It's that good. For those that are just joining us on Moving Forward, this is a Bible study that the goal is to read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And God has blessed us to do it. I guess this is my third year, maybe fourth year, reading the Bible. The first few years were just topical Bible study. We would just read whatever God gave me to read. Then God gave me a chronological Bible study, and I think it took us probably a year and a half to read the entire Bible chronologically. And then God gave me the Charles Stanley Study Bible, which is also a year-long Bible study. And so we started it kind of in the middle of the year when we finished one. So when we finished it, God gave it to me again this year to start in January. So we started January, and we should be finished December 31st. So I'm excited just to do what God has called me to do, which is to teach and read his word. And honestly, the word of God preaches itself, teaches itself. All you have to do is read it. And, you know, so when the word of God says to meditate on the word day and night, when we do, you learn so much. And what you learn is the fact that history unknown is history repeated. And you see it all through the word where, you know, Israel makes the same mistakes over and over. They keep doing the same thing. They keep saying the same thing. They keep falling away from God instead of sticking with him. You know, and all you can say is, didn't you just do that? You know, why are you doing the same stuff over and over? But then you stop and think about ourselves. How many times do we do the same thing over and over? You know, make the same stupid mistakes over and over. We do it. But we have to repent and say, Lord, stop me and help me from making the same mistakes, from doing the same thing, you know, thinking I'm going to get a different result, because you won't. You do the same stupid thing, you're going to get the same stupid result. You can pray about it. You can fast. You can do everything. But if you keep doing the same stupid thing, you're going to get the same stupid results. So we have to ask God to give us the strength not to do and not to repeat the same mistakes, but to walk in righteousness and to know that nothing is too hard for God. And, you know, we got to start talking to God and say, and the title for today's lesson is Mighty God, Nothing is Too Hard for You. You know, it kind of explains itself. You know, a lot of times I'll, you know, write up things and it's like, this is a self-explanatory. Mighty God, there is nothing too hard for you. And when we believe that and know that, everything else falls into place. There is nothing too hard for our God. Part of the Red Sea. He gave us a Savior. He has come through more than not. Hallelujah. I'm grateful to be a child of God. No, I will not tell you everything in my life is perfect, because it's not. There's no such thing as a perfect life. You know, we look at people like, you know, the Kardashians and all these folks that are movie stars and all of this, and they have all kinds of money. But the question is, are they completely happy? Absolutely not. Kim Kardashian just got divorced. Yes, she came out with a lot of money and beautiful, beautiful children. But the question is she happy? Does she know the Lord? Because understand, we cannot take anything with us. I can't take anything I have with me. All the overflow clutter, whatever I may have, I cannot take it with me. I can't take my car with me. I can't take my home. I can't take all the stuff that you have accumulated over the years in your life. You cannot take it with you. You can't just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take my house. I'm going to take my car. I'm going to take my children. I'm going to take everything. I'm going to take it all with me. It doesn't happen that way. Again, because we serve a mighty God, nothing is too hard for him. Mighty God, there is nothing too hard for you. Jeremiah prayed it, preached it, taught it. And all we have to do is walk in it and believe it and trust that God will and does take care of his children. And when it is our time, it is our time. I appreciate the prayers that you have prayed for my father-in-law. But only God knows God is going to do. And as I prayed yesterday with my sister-in-law, we both came to the conclusion that it is God's decision. And that when he is ready to go, that's when God will take him. And we have come to the understanding God's will. As many know that have been with me for a while, October 23rd is the homegoing of my late husband. It will be 11 years on tomorrow. And I had to come to the realization, and it took me a long time. You know, and folks say, oh, don't take that much. You know, all that grieving stuff. But when you have your best friend and your best friend leaves and you're left in a wind, a whirlwind of confusion, you don't know what to do, how to act. And God says, okay, it's time to give up. It's time to let go, because they can't rest because you can't rest. And I realize that we hold hostage our loved ones when we can't let them go. When we hold them in bondage because of our selfish spirits. So I ask God to forgive me, because I want my husband to be at peace, to know that he fought a good fight and that he finished the race and that he is in the presence of God, which is what we all long for, to be in God's presence. And so don't weep. Don't mourn. Rejoice that they have a new birthday. Rejoice that they are in the presence of the Lord and that nothing is too hard for God. And God will give you peace when you're finally ready to accept it. So, yes, I still get a little teary-eyed. But it's not because I'm in pain or regret. It's because I know that my loved one is at rest and that God has blessed him to be in the presence of him. So when we look at it that way, everything else falls into place. So let's get started in our word today, because we got quite a bit of word this morning. Because as many know, on Fridays and Sundays, we divide the word because we don't do a show on Saturdays. So Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, Old Testament word, is normally on Friday. New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs are normally on Sunday. If we have time for our Old Testament Psalm or Proverb, we'll read it on Friday, but if not, it is read on Sunday with the New Testament. So let's get started. Father God in heaven, I am grateful, I am thankful, and I am truly blessed to be your daughter and to know that nothing is too hard for you. Father God, I lay all my problems, every situation, every stress, everything, I put it at your feet, Lord God. For I know that you will guide me and lead me in how to accomplish the task that you have given me to accomplish. Father God, I ask you to lift up bereaved families today. As you know, my babies, two of my beautiful little girls that I love to pieces are having to bury their mother today, who unfortunately passed in the prime of her life, 32 years old, passed away, not by choice. And Father God, we know that she is in your presence and that her tragedy will not go unpunished. For you, Lord God, are the judge, you are the jury, you are the executioner. You are absolute, and all things fall into your loving hand. And Lord, we know that she is in your loving hand. So I lift her up. I lift up her children that are still here, that are left behind, asking you, Lord God, to give them strength in the midst. Give them foresight to be better, to know you and to serve you. Lord God, I lift up today my father-in-law, your will, not mine. For we know that you love him and we know that he loves you and that he has followed your dictates all of his life. And Father God, we are thanking you for this mighty word this morning, this word that will give us understanding even of things that are going on today, that we will look in the word for our guidance, that we will look in the word for understanding, that we will look in the word and trust the word, your word, that all things work for our good because we trust and believe in you, oh God. Father God, we know that we must walk a path, each of us our own path. We can't walk anybody else's but our own. Father God, I ask that you help us to stay in our square, that square of light and not darkness, that we do not fall into the shadow of death, that all things will work according to your purpose for our lives, and that we will trust in you, believe in you, and know that all things are working because of you, because nothing is too hard for you, mighty God. So, Father God, I lift up this word and pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart, Lord God, that they will be acceptable in your holy sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are the mighty, mighty God who created heaven and earth and everything therein. In Jesus' name, I look up, lift up, giving you honor, glory, and praise, oh God. Amen. Giving honor to God who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Let us get into our word this morning. And as always, it is what? It is a great word. Because, well, we get giddy for Jesus on this show. And this is the word of God in Jeremiah chapter 29. And God willing, and we will read Jeremiah chapter 29 through chapter 34 on today. And that is, again, God willing, and our time does not run out. We will probably be a little bit over today on Fridays, especially since Jeremiah is kind of a long word. We will probably go to close to 8:30. And if you have to get off, that is all right. We understand because we all do have to go to work. So I thank God that I don't work until later on Friday so I can get the word out. So let's get started. And we are again coming from Jeremiah chapter 29 through chapter 34. God willing, And again, we're going to be possibly a little bit over this morning, but we will go until the word is complete. And I thank again all of you for listening in this morning. And the book of Jeremiah chapter 29 says, now there, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent. This is of the letter that he sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, the king, the queen mother, and the eunuchs of the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths, had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. But they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. But thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to the place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That is our scripture for my church for this year. And it's stepping up and stepping out. We got to step up and step out into our future. We have to move forward. Move forward in our life. Move forward in our work. In whatever it is that God has called you to do, you got to move forward. You can't stay stagnant. Because to stay stagnant is to get caught up in the muck and the mire. Move forward with God. And that is just a word that God just gave me for our church for this morning. And it goes on to say in verse number 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me, and with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Because you have said the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David, concerning all the people who dwell in the city, and concerning your brethren who have not gone out with you into captivity. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send on them the sword of the famine and the pestilence, and will make them like rotten figs. They cannot be eaten. They are so bad. And I will pursue them with the sword, with famine and with pestilence. And I will deliver them to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and astonishment, a hissing and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them, because they have not heeded my words, says the Lord, which I sent to them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, neither word, neither would you heed, says the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning Ahab, the son of Coaliah, and Zedekiah, the son of Messiah, who prophesy a lie to you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And because of them, a curse shall be taken up by all the captivity of Judah who are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted. Wow. Burn them up. Because you know they kind of like them furnaces over there. Because they have done disgraceful things to Israel, have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Indeed, I know and am a witness, says the Lord. Again, that word we talked about on the other day about prophecy. Don't be out there prophesying when God has not given you a word, because God will beat your behind. Fake prophets don't understand. He will show up and show out all over you, prophesying lies. We call them on this show proper liars. Thank you, Leah. Proper liars will get beat down. Don't be out there prophesying lies, because God will show up your lie every time. You know, we got to understand God does not play. He doesn't play. And look, as you can say, what did happen? What did it say? The Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. We don't want to be roasted in the fire. Don't be out there lying on God. Well, God said this. No, if God ain't said it, don't say it. Well, you better say what I think or I believe, but don't put God in the midst of a mess, because he's not a messy God. We better understand God sees it all, knows it all, and he is in charge of it all. Because mighty God, all things, God is in charge of all things. Say it with me, my God is in charge of all things, because God is the author and the finisher of it all. Mighty God, there is nothing too hard for you. So we got to give it to God and leave it with God. And it says in verse 24 of chapter 29 of Jeremiah, you shall also speak to Shemaiah the Nelamite, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you have sent letters in your name to all the people who are in Jerusalem, to Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord has made you priest instead of Jehoiada, the priest, so there should be officers in the house of the Lord over every man who is demented and considers himself a prophet, that you should put him in prison and in the stocks. Now, therefore, why have you not rebuked Jeremiah of Ananoth, who makes himself a prophet to you? For he has sent to us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat their fruit. Now Zephaniah the priest read the letter in the hearing of Jeremiah the prophet. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, send to all those in captivity, saying, thus says the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, and I have not sent him, and he has caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nephilimite and his family. He shall not have anyone to dwell among his people, nor shall he see the good that I will do for my people, says the Lord, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord. God, don't play about rebellion. Don't be a rebellious child. Don't be a rebellious parent. Don't be a rebellious
teacher, preacher, prophet. Don't be a rebellious anything. When God says go, go. When God says do, do. Because he will beat your behind, and I'm just speaking it. Been there, got the behind toe up t-shirt. Because I did not follow. And when I learned the lesson, I said, forgive me, Lord. And got on track. We got to keep and stay on track. God blesses us, but God wants us to do right. Jeremiah 29:7, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. God caused his rebellious people to be carried away by force to be whipped to the wicked Babylon. And yet he instructed them to pray for the peace of the pagan city. Even in Babylon, he wanted to bless his people. And that's from Dr. Charles Stanley. These are life lessons. Life lesson for Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Do you really want to know God's will for your life? That's a question Dr. Stanley asked. Do you really want to learn his plans for you? God promises to reveal his will to everyone who will obey whatever he tells them to do. We on the same page, Dr. Stanley. And this is another word from Dr. Stanley. This is just a life question for chapter 29 of Jeremiah. It says, do you ever feel tempted to give up? I can raise my hand and say yes. Perhaps right now you feel overlooked, forgotten, mistreated, and you want to quit. We better understand we all go through this. Satan's goal is to get you to do just that. Throw in the towel and call it quits. Discouragement is his, catch that. Discouragement is the favorite weapon of the enemy. And we got to understand the evil one wants you to be discouraged. You can look around and say, oh, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. But what God says is one step at a time. You know, what is the adage? How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? You know, how do you accomplish what God calls you to accomplish one step at a time? One assignment at a time. And it says, this is what Dr. Stanley says, but remember this, while disappointments are inevitable, discouragement is a choice. Once we yield to the devil's deliberating whisperings of doubt and fear, we quickly find ourselves trapped in a web of self-pity. Been there, done that. I'm all pitied out. Woe is me t-shirt. Soon after, we try to justify feelings of anger, envy, and jealousy. Encouragement rarely comes to those looking for ways to justify themselves. I shook that mess off and said, oh, not today, Satan. During a very troubling time in Israel's history, God directed Jeremiah to speak words of hope and encouragement to the disheartened exiles in Babylon. I know that the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a and a hope. God wants to give us a future and a hope. If we are ever going to reach our full potential, we must understand a very important truth. God is for us. He is not against us. In Babylon, Israel sorted out her faith and rediscovered her deep need for the Lord. And we have to do the same thing. Each of us individually must sort out our situations and sort out our faith and know that God is in charge. God often uses trials to position us for greater blessings. Hallelujah. Even in times of great disappointment, he has our best in mind. He knows how he wants to use the disappointment or hardship for our benefit. And he desires that we see him as our only source of salvation and blessing. When you feel tempted to yield to discouragement, go to God in prayer. Tell him all you are feeling, the unkind ways you have been treated that do not seem fair to you. God is an objective view of the situation. He sees the future and knows the direction your life will take. He also wants you to totally depend on him and not rely on the compliments or resources of others. Can you say that? While disappointments will come, you live in a fallen world. After all, you can live above it by focusing your heart on Jesus Christ. If you are in a emotionally or physical difficult or physically difficult spot right now, refuse to become discouraged. Ask the Lord to reveal his will and plan for your life. Commit yourself fully to him and pray to obey no matter what it costs. If you take this approach, then God will provide for you in ways that far exceed human understanding. Wow. Pray and pray some more. Chapter 30 of Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah, for thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with a child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his own, like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. But it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you. Yet I will not make a complete end of you, but I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. Thus says the Lord, your affliction is incurable. Your wound is severe. There is no one to plead your cause that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. Why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. I have done these things to you. Wow. Therefore, all those who devour you shall be devoured. And all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunderers. And all who prey upon you, I will make a prey. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on its dwelling places. The city shall be built upon it on mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be, congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all who oppress them. Their nobles shall be from among them, and their governors shall come from their midst. Then I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach me. For who is this who pleaded his heart to approach me? I'm sorry. For who is he this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. That's a highlightable. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intent of his heart. In the latter days, you will consider it. Folks want to play with God, you better stop. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11, life lesson. I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. And this is a word, complete and total forgiveness of sin does not necessarily mean complete and total eradication of all consequences for sin. Jesus forgave the thief on the cross and gave him eternal life, but the thief still died, Luke 23 and 43. Jesus told him, you'll be with me in paradise, but he had to die to do that. He didn't give him life on after the cross. He gave him life. He gave him death on the cross so he could have life eternally. You will be with me in paradise. And we have to take that with us. Yes, you will die. We all will die. But we will have eternal life when we believe and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For he is our salvation. He is our strength. He is our Savior. Jeremiah chapter 31. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people, thus says the Lord. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel. When I went to give him rest, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Ooh. I'm going to read that again because that word just touches my heart. That's one of my highlightables. The Lord has appeared to me saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you and you shall be rebuilt. O virgin of Israel, you shall again be adorned with your tambourines and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall yet paint vines, plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and eat them as ordinary food. For there shall be a day when the watchman will cry on Mount Ephraim, arise and let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and the one who labors with child together. A great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping and with supplications. I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scatters Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning to joy, will comfort them, and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You have chastened me, and I was chastised like an untrained bull. Restore me, and I will return. For you are the Lord my God. Surely after my turning, I repented, and after I was instructed, I struck myself on the thigh. I was ashamed, yes, even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. Set up signposts. Make landmarks. Set your heart toward the highway, the way in which you went. Turn back, O virgin of Israel. Turn back to these, your cities. How long will you gad about on, you backsliding daughter? O you backsliding daughter. For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, they shall again use this speech in the land of Judah and in its cities when I bring back their captivity. Bring back their captivity. The Lord bless you, O home of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all its cities together farmers and those going out with flocks. For I have saturated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. After this, I awoke and looked around, and my sleep was sweet to me. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I am watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall say no more. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Again, nobody can die for you. You can only die for yourself. You can only stand God for yourself. I can't stand before God for my children. I can pray for them and ask God to watch over them. But when their time comes, only God can judge them, not me. And only God can judge me, not you. We each will stand before God and have to account for our own individual actions. And God knows every last one of them. And this is the rest of the word. It says in chapter 31:31, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Whew. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for the light by day, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for the light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the city shall be built for the Lord, Tower of Ananel, to the corner gate. The surveyor's line shall again extend straight forward over the hill of Gareb. Then it shall turn toward Gods, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and of all the fields as far as the brook of Kedron, to the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy to the Lord. It shall not be plucked up or thrown down any more forever. And a few like couple of life lessons from Jeremiah chapter 31. Wow, and it has been a great word. Chapter 31, verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God is, and this is what Dr. Stanley tells us, God has pledged his love to you. He walks with you through disappointment and never gets disillusioned by your wayward acts. For he has seen the finished portrait. He knows that through Christ you can and will succeed. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord does not want to wait until heaven to satisfy your soul with abundance or fill us with his goodness. He desires to bless you right now with all the good things of his spirit. Can we say together, praise the Lord. I will make a new covenant, Jeremiah 31:31. We are a new covenant people, a blessed group of men and women who can come boldly into God's presence by his spirit and through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. We are God's children. And I say this with total heart. God loves us. And he is mighty to save us. And this is the word of God in Jeremiah chapter 32. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, for then the king of Babylon. The army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. But Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, why do you prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face and see him eye to eye. Then he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him, says the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed. You know, folks don't want to hear bad news from a prophet. They want to hear the sweet and wonderful, everything's going to be great, you're going to do this, everything's going to be wonderful. They don't want to hear the word of God from a prophet that says, you messed up, and this is what's going to happen. Won't want to hear that. I only want to hear the good stuff, but you can't always hear the good stuff. And that's King Zedekiah, you only want to hear the good stuff. But Jeremiah told the truth and spoke the truth, and we got to listen. When a prophet speaks, you better listen. And he goes on to tell us in Jeremiah chapter 6, chapter 32, verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle will come to you and saying, buy my field, which is in Antioch, for the right of redemption, for yours to buy. Then Hanamel, your uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, please buy my field that is in Antioch, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord, so I brought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, was in Enoch. and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses, and weighed the money on the scale. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the purchase deed to Barak, the son of Nero, son of Mashiah, in the presence of Ananiah, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses who signed the purchase deed before all the Jews who sat in the court of the prison. Then I charged Barak before them, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this purchase deed, which is sealed, and the deed which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may last many days. But thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Barak, the son of Nero, I prayed to the Lord, saying, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. And our title for today, there is nothing too hard for you. That's a highlightable. We got to let God know we understand nothing is too hard for him. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquities of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, you are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, to this day and in Israel and among other men, and you have made yourself a name as it is this day. You have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror you have given them this land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and took possession of it, but they have not obeyed your voice or walked in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have caused all this calamity to come upon them. Look, the siege mounts. They have come to the city to take it, and the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans, who fight against it because of the sword and famine and pestilence. What you have spoken has happened there. You see it, and you have said to me, O Lord God, buy the field for money and take witnesses. Yet the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans who fight against this city shall come and set fire to this city and burn it with the houses on whose roof they have offered incense to Baal and poured out drink offerings to other gods, to provoke me to anger, because the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done only evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel provoke me only to anger with the work of their hands, says the Lord. For this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and my fury from the day that they built it, even to this day. So I will remove it from before my face because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned to me the back and not the face, though I taught them rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it, build the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the sons of Hanan, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, of which you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, and they may fear me forever for the God of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. But thus says the Lord, and just as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have promised them, and fields will be brought in their land, of which you say, it is desolate without men or beasts. It has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men will buy fields for money, sign deeds and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, in the place around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, and in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captives to return, says the Lord. Wow. Nothing is too hard for God. And as we continue in this word, life lessons for Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah states rightly that God can do whatever he desires. And yet when it comes to his life, he wonders how like us, in theory, we agree, but in our own lives, yet nothing is too hard for God. Abraham had to learn this lesson, Genesis 18:14. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to learn this lesson, Luke 1:37. Peter and the other disciples had to learn this lesson, Luke 18:27. And so do we. Nothing is too hard for God. And we got to let him know we know, mighty God, there's nothing too hard for you. Jeremiah 32:39, I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. Everything God does is what Dr. Stanley says. For us, he does for our good. Romans 8:28, we got to keep that in our spirit. He gives us a heart to love him, a will to obey him, and a spirit to fear him for our good and the good of our children. God wants to bless us with all his heart and with all his soul. That is, with everything within him. Who can measure what kind of blessing? Who can comprehend it? But that is exactly what he has for us, an uncomprehendable blessing. I accept, I rejoice in advance because I know that my God will supply all of my needs. I trust in his word. Jeremiah 32:42, just as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have, all of his promises for both judgment and blessing. But he loves to bless his people, not judge them. He will not shrink from judging us. See 1 Peter 4:17. But he would much prefer to bless us. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We got to praise God in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. Father God, I praise you. I trust you. I love you. We got to give it all to God, who is the source of our strength. Hopefully those that have to leave at 8, I understand. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. But if you can stay a little longer, we have a couple more chapters of Jeremiah to finish up our word for today, and then we will be wrapping it up. So if you could stay, please stay. We're almost done. But God put up my assignment to finish our word for today, for tomorrow, and for Sunday in the book of Jeremiah. And I'm going to do my assignment. And I pray that you all are able to stay on. And the word of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse to chapter 34, verse 22. Chapter 33 of Jeremiah. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I want to read that again. Verse number 2. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Whew. Praise God. But thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege mound and the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men, whom I will slay in my anger and my fury. All for those wickedness I have hidden my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will kill them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, praise and honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity provide for it. Thus says the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place of which you say, it is desolate without man and without beast. In the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this waste which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all its cities, there shall again be a dwelling place of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowlands, in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah. The flock shall again pass under the hands of him who counts them, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. But thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Now shall the priests of the Levites lack a man to offer burnt offerings before me, to kindle grain offerings, and to sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may be also broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers, as the hosts of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, have you not considered what these people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord has chosen, he has also cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, as if they should no more be a nation before them. Thus says the Lord, if my covenant is not with a night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the descendants of Jacob and David, my servants, so that I will not take any of his descendants to be rulers over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captives to return and will have mercy on them. Wow, what a word. Forgive my horses, but this word is so rich today. There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. In chapter 33, Life Lessons, I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. For such a dark book, Jeremiah has some blindingly bright spots. Let's say that again, because I got all messed up. For such a dark book, Jeremiah has some blindingly bright spots. God desires to bring us health and healing, not sickness and injury. He wants to shower us with peace and truth, not keep either from us. Thank you, Dr. Stanley, for that mighty word. That just did something to my heart. God does not want us to be sick. God does not want us broke, tore down, you know, as they say, broke, disgusted, and dirty, and not, you know, God does not want that for us. God does not want us homeless. God does not want that for us. You know, I was driving the other day and I saw this group of homeless men. And they were, you know, begging on the street with signs and stuff. And, you know, one was, you know, up and running to the cars and, you know, trying to get money. And I watched and I looked and one was laid out, covered up in his little sleeping bag, just laying on the street, wasn't getting up, wasn't trying to get anything. He was just chilling. And it was yesterday, and the word that came to my mind was a man who will not work, will not eat. It's time to get up. It's time to go to work. It's time to work for God. It was just something about that picture that bothered my soul. One jumping up, running to the cars, and one just laying there, like, whatever.
And he was the bigger of the group, which meant that the other ones were probably doing the hustling as he probably reaped the rewards of their work. Just laying there, caring the world. We pray for those that are homeless. We pray for those that are struggling. And I ask God to give them strength, to give them everything they need, to find employment, to find a home. And that whatever we can do to help, give us whatever insight it is to help. And, you know, and I realized at first I was like, Lord, and God says, keep driving. Keep driving. Because I'm one of those folks that want to give to everybody. But that word, as I was about to stop, the word of God said, a man who does not work does not eat. And it broke me down, broke my heart. Because there are signs everywhere for employment, everywhere. And I say everywhere, every place I go, there's a sign in the window, we're hiring. We're hiring. Dial this number. We're hiring all over. You know, and some employers miss out on good employees because of the way they look. And so a word out to employers, don't look at the outside because you haven't had an opportunity to see that they are hard workers and want to do the work that they're called to do. And will be great employees. Don't judge books by their cover. So I'm praying for those that are seeking work that God will show them the right place to go, that they will find the employment that is their bent. Jeremiah 33:9, they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. When will we learn that the heart, this is from Dr. Stanley, of God yearns to lavish on his obedient people joy, praise, honor, goodness, and prosperity? He does not wait in heaven just itching for us . God wants us to continue to do well. He has wellness in our heart. And he said he does not wait in heaven just itching for us to fall, but rather longs to do good to us. Again, nothing is too hard for God. And this is a word for, again, a life's question answer from Dr. Stanley. And it says this, the prophet Jeremiah was not a popular man. When he declared the truth God had given him, that Judah would soon start 70 long years in captivity, the people threw him into prison. Yet in such dire circumstances, Jeremiah learned something profound about prayer. Jeremiah 33:1-3 says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That comes from prayer. Prayer is a very real part of a vital relationship with God. It is not for some special spiritual elite. It is for you. And I say it is for me. There are three principles within these verses can transform your old notion about prayer into something fresh and new. Might want to get a pen. The first one is, God says, call to me. He wants to hear from you. His all-loving, omnipresent heart desires to hear your innermost thoughts and feelings. He wants to hear from you in the hard times and when life is going smoothly. In fact, your sweetest times of prayer happen when you come before him simply to praise and worship and give thanks for what he has done. Thank you, God. So the first one is this, call to me. The second is this. God says, I will answer you. Do you believe that? Perhaps you once asked God for something he did not give you. And since then you have
harbored secret worries that he did not hear or did not care to answer. But God instead says to you, I will answer you. That answer may not take the form you anticipate or come when you desire, but he will respond. He might say yes, no, or wait. You may not understand the reason behind his answer, but you can trust that they are best for you. There's that Romans 8:28 word again. Third, God says, I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You have finite wisdom and understanding. God knows all. He knows the best picture. You see merely a teeny piece. When you ask him to guide you, he works to direct you as a part of his higher vision and calling. If you take that first step of calling out to him, prayer can become an important part of your dynamic relationship with Almighty God. Do it today. He waits to hear your voice. What a wonderful word. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. And our last chapter for this morning, Jeremiah chapter 34. And it says this, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, all the kingdoms of the earth under his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem and all its cities, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. How many times, Jeremiah, got to tell you something? And you shall not escape from his hand, but shall surely be taken and delivered into his hand. Your eyes shall see the eyes of the king of Babylon. He shall speak with you face to face, and you shall go to Babylon. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord concerning you. You shall not die by the sword. You shall die in peace, as in the ceremonies of your fathers, the former kings who were before you. So they shall burn incense for you and lament for you, saying, alas, Lord, for I have pronounced the word, says the Lord. Then Jeremiah the prophet spoke all these words to Zedekiah, king of Judah, in Jerusalem, when the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah that were left against Lachish and Azekiah, for only these fortified cities remained in the cities of Judah. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after King Zedekiah made covenant with all the people who were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty to them, that every man should eat, should set free his male and female slaves, a Hebrew man or woman, that no one should keep a Jewish brother in bondage. Now when all the princesses and all the people who had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should set free his male and female slaves, that no one should keep them in bondage anymore, they obeyed and let them go. But afterwards they changed their minds and made the male and female slaves return whom they had set free and brought them into subjection as male and female slaves. Therefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, saying, at the end of 7 years, let every man set free his Hebrew brother who has been sold to him. And when he has served you 6 years, you shall let him go free from you. But your fathers did not obey, nor me, nor incline their ears. Then you recently turned and did what was right in my sight, every man claiming liberty to his neighbor. And you made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. Then you turned around and profaned my name, and every one of you brought back his male and female slaves, whom you had set at liberty at their pleasure, and brought them back into subjugation to be your male and female slaves. Therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty, every one of his brother and every one of his neighbors. Behold, I proclaim liberty to you, says the Lord, to the sword, to pestilence, and to famine, and I will deliver you to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not performed the words of the covenant which they made before me, when they cut the calf in two and pass between the parts of it, the princes of Judah, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land who pass between the parts of the calf, I will give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those who seek their life. Their dead bodies shall be for meat for the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the feet of the earth. And I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes into the hands of their enemies, into the hand of those who seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army. Fall back from you. Behold, I will command, says the Lord, and cause them to return to the city. They will fight against it and take it and burn it with fire. And I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without inhabitants. Don't play with God. And that is our word for today. But understand, through all of the things that were going on, through all the prophecy of captivity, we still understand and know, and we should always know, that nothing is too hard for God. What God says he will do, he will do. But understand, God loves us, and he loves us completely and totally. Pray, pray without ceasing, and know that God has got you covered. From the crowns of your heads to the soles of your feet, you are blessed beyond measure because you are sons and daughters of God. Do what you are called to do. Do your assignment, even if it takes you a little bit over your prescribed time. God gives you the time to do what he needs you to do. Keep trusting God and know that all things are working for your good. Because why? You are trusting in the Lord God, who made the heaven and the earth and everything therein, and that you know nothing is too hard for God. And as we ask God and say to God, mighty God, there is nothing too hard for you. Believe it, trust it, and know it. As you speak to the Father and say, mighty God, there is nothing too hard for you. Believe it and know it. And know that he is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Why? Because his word says so. And the one thing you can accept always is that God keeps his word. Have a blessed day, family. Before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for this morning from Sister Carolyn is this. And I have not gotten a word from Sister Carolyn this morning. I thought I had it already, but I do not. So just know, I'll just give a word from our sister in Christ myself this morning, and we're going to go back to our key word that came this morning from Jeremiah chapter 29 and 11. And again, it's a word for my church for this year, and I just share it with you. Again, a highlightable, and it is this: for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. God has got us covered from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. Love God, trust God, and give God all that you need. He will provide it. Love you all, trust God, and know that he got you. He got me, he got you, he got us all. Father God, we thank you for this word this morning. May it be a light to someone in darkness. Give us strength. Give us everything we need, Lord God, that we will walk in righteousness and walk in faith. Thank you for this day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. In Jesus' name we pray, thanking you in advance, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy toward each and every one of us as we walk this journey called life. We thank you, Lord, that we will stay in our square
and stay in light. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanking God for each and every one of you. Thanking you for staying over a little longer with me as I've gotten a horse. But I know it's a good horse because I read the word of God and I know that I can stand on it. Thank you so much, family. Be blessed. God is good and his mercy endures forever and all time. And when you call on his name, know that all things are possible because he does hear you and he will answer you. Walk in hope. Walk in peace. Walk and know that you have a future in the Lord God. Be blessed. It is a wrap, family. It's a wrap. Time to go to work. And as I spoke earlier at 8 o'clock, speak again. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. God willing, please join me on Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in the Word of God in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. No, actually, 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I do believe we will be going into a new word. We will be in 1 Timothy as we end our word on Sunday. So we'll be finishing up 2 Thessalonians, and we'll be going into a new chapter in 1 Timothy, a new book in 1 Timothy. So thank you so very much, and we will have our Psalms 119 word and Proverbs 27 word as well. Thank you so much. Be blessed. It is a wrap.